Thank you, my man, Kurt. We certainly appreciate what you shared with us, and we'll be looking forward to an update at about 7:35. Meanwhile, we say good morning and thank you to every one of you for joining us and tuning in to our WEAA special. This is the Baltimore Blend live from Nancy's with coffee and conversation, and the theme is Yes, You Can Afford College. It's brought to you by PNC.
And today we speak with a panelist of experts, as well as our students who have beat the odds in affordable education. They'll be sharing their impact, their information, and their experience on how they got where they are, and you absolutely can do the same. So our moderator for today is our very own host of Wealthy Radio, Deborah Owens. Good morning and welcome, Deborah, and also our panelists.
Good morning. Well, I'm excited to be here to talk about a topic that I know should be on the tops of minds of most of our listeners. And it really is college affordability. You know, we have the great privilege of being on the campus of Morgan State, an historically black college and university. And what we know is that this is a topic that impacts so many families. In fact, one of the challenges is affordability. And it really focuses on the fact that so many kids, particularly African American kids, are coming out of college with an average of $33,000 worth of debt. So for many people, they feel like college is out of reach. And so I'm really excited this morning because we're tackling this subject of college affordability. And one of the things that I really love is the way we're hosting and focusing on this conversation around the fact that yes, you can. So we're going to be tackling a number of topics this morning around college affordability. And we have a number of experts in the house because that's what we want to do. So we're going to tackle college affordability, scholarships, financial aid, student loans, all of that and more today. And so we're going to tackle these four topics with experts in all of those areas. And we're going to begin that topic today with two experts who are going to help us talk about college affordability, challenges, and opportunities. And so it's our great pleasure to have on this first panel Director of Financial Aid for Baltimore City Community College, Vera Brooks, and Executive Director of the Maryland Consumer Rights Coalition, Marceline White. So let's welcome them to our conversation this morning.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
And so I want to start with Vera Brooks, Director of Financial Aid for Baltimore City Community College. You are on the front lines, as I see it, because Baltimore City Community College pretty much accepts anyone who applies, right? And so
correct.
I'd like to get from your vantage point, what are some of the challenges facing our community in just getting access to higher education?
I think when I reflect on the challenges, I think about when I first went off to school, and I went off as a traditional student back in the 70s, so I'm telling my age. The challenges that students face are so much different now than it was in the 70s. You know, my daddy's agenda for me when I went off to college was you go to class and you study and you pass. My agenda was I party, I go to class, hopefully I can study around
that
agenda.
Tell the truth now. Yeah.
Somehow I made it. I wasn't first generation, but I was first generation to persevere. And had some parental involvement, but I did a lot of things myself because I was educated to do so. But the challenges that students face now are so different. When you talk about first generation students, you're talking about students of all ages, not just students that are coming out of high school, right out of high school. You're talking about people who gave up their plans to go to college later on in life. They had to raise their families. In many situations, they're sandwiched between raising families and taking care of their parents or their grandparents, because we do live in a non-traditional society, and many of our students are raised by their grandparents. But the challenge is mainly financial. Many of the students are working nowadays at least 20 to 30 hours a week. They have children. They have babysitting issues. Many of them need to take remedial courses, majority of our students have to take remedial courses, at least one class. And so, you know, that is a challenge to them because many of them are not familiar with college or had anyone in their family to guide them because they are first generation. They don't know the ins and outs. They don't know what to expect. They know they want to go to college. And just let me say this, community colleges affords all students an opportunity who want to go to college.
That's a great way of putting it, because for so many people looking at the statistics and not wanting to take on any debt, they may be feeling like, well, I can't afford to go, whereas you could be more strategic, start at a community college, and then go on and matriculate into a four-year college. I want to talk with you for just a minute, Marceline White. You're executive director of the Maryland Consumer Rights Coalition, and one of the things we know is that there is a lot of fraud with some for-profit colleges. The landscape has changed. As Vera so aptly put, when you went to school in the 70s or so, 30 years ago, you really were looking at more traditional higher institutions of higher education. Now you have all of these different for-profit schools that, as we see, some have recently closed. Give us a sense of what does our audience need to know to make sure that they are not putting themselves in a situation where they're going to get into debt, get out of school, and not even have a degree so that they can actually find a job?
Sure. It's a great question, and I'm sure people know recently that IP campuses have closed very quickly and shut down suddenly, and that affects, in fact, at least 1,000 students in Maryland right now who have been attending IP. One of the things that we know, we did work on this last year, is that for-profit schools in Maryland charge 3 to 5 times more than public schools and community colleges. We also know that students take out more debt to go to these for-profit schools, and they have a higher default rate, which means they have a harder time paying their debt and stop paying on their debt, which causes other problems with their credit scores and other collections down the line. And I think most disturbingly, one of the things we see is that less than 50% of the students who go through these for-profit programs get employment afterwards. And so one of the things we really have seen when talking to students who've gone through for-profit schools is that they didn't have information about the other alternatives available to them. They didn't understand. When you look nationally at for-profit schools, you see a lot of non-traditional students, as my colleague talked about. But one of the things we've seen, especially in Baltimore City, is people coming straight from high school to for-profit schools. Mm-hmm. And what they said is, again, they're, you know, first-generation students, their families didn't go to college, and they saw it on TV, because for-profit schools spend a lot of their money on advertising. So they saw it on TV, and it looked promising. They want to improve their lives, and they didn't realize that there were other options available. So I think one of the things we really are urging people to do is to take a look at the landscape, look at community colleges, look at HCBUs, look at, you know, our state universities, and really compare. You need to really do your homework before you start to take on this debt, and look at the cost of other options, and also looking at vocational training, because the other thing we know is that not everyone's gonna be right for college for a lot of reasons. And so also looking at other options with labor unions, with apprenticeship programs. You know, you can do great as an electrician. There are other options available for you as well. And so also just really taking a look at what you're interested in, and taking some time when you're, you know, certainly a junior in high school to start really planning if you're going straight on.
Well, you know, it's interesting that you say that. It's almost as if planning for college needs to start in high school, and particularly because you're talking about people getting out and not really knowing what the landscape is so that they get into traps. And so there, my question to you is, what do you think could prevent, right, someone from getting snared into some of these for-profit schools, and so that they can know more about community college options?
I think the conversation needs to happen before high school. I think early awareness about college should start in middle school. And a lot of colleges are addressing that with middle school children, students, giving slowly but surely. And we need the high school counselors to help us also to educate the students. And I know that they're overwhelmed in the high schools. But at some point, they can invite people in into middle school and high schools to discuss the differences between what a for-profit school is, what a private school is, what a state school is, the difference in cost, but also to teach the students how to research. You know, the internet is your friend. You can find out a lot of information on the internet, not just take the college's word for it. Because as my colleague said, the sales pitch on for-profit schools, I mean, those commercials are wonderful. I mean, they are wonderful. They get their graduates to do the commercials. What do they say? They're their graduates. They get their graduates to do commercials, and, you know, they find the ones that have been very successful. But we need to educate our students not to take things at face value.
Well, you know, the other question I have for you, Marceline, is what can parents do as it relates to, or not only parents, but what can individuals do to find out about potential, how do I want to put it, getting involved in some of these schools that are going to pay them put them into debt. Where can our listening audience go to gain information about for-profit schools and the pitfalls of pursuing them?
Sure. So one thing you can do if you're in Maryland is we have a report online and a short fact sheet, and we're the Maryland Consumer Rights Coalition, and it's www.marylandconsumerswithans.org. You can find out about what we've seen with for-profit schools in the state. The other thing you can do is go to the Department of Education, which has resources about for-profit and public schools. And then to add on to what my colleague Vera said, in terms of educating yourself for your young children, the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, which is a national agency, has a set of resources on student loans and navigating student loans now, including a financial aid shopping sheet, which helps you calculate the cost of a program and what it would mean to you.
And the net price calculator.
And the net price calculator. And you can look at that and compare the price of a for-profit school with other options and see what your loan burden would really be. And in fact, MCRC, my group, was instrumental in passing legislation last year, which is now requiring all for-profit schools to include the net price calculator and this financial shopping sheet to anybody who's interested. So they should have on their website, starting October 1st, a very clear articulation of the cost of these programs so people can make more informed decisions.
Let me just let our listeners know, if you're just joining us, this is Coffee and Conversations. We're at Nancy's Snack, Nancy's by Snack, right here on North Avenue, having a conversation with a number of experts, and we're covering a number of different topics. If you are considering going to college, if you have a child considering going to college, you really are going to want to take notes. So I want to make sure you have your pencils and papers. If you're in your car, just take out your recorder on your iPhone and take some of these websites that we're sharing with you, so that not only, even if you don't have a family member, share this with the community and people within your circles, so that they can avoid some of the pitfalls. One of the things that it's become very clear is that it's almost a given that college is something that many of our youth have to be positioned to take advantage of. Now, as Marceline said earlier, it's not that college is for everyone, but it is something that if you want your child to go, that you need to start planning earlier. So again, we're right here having coffee and conversations at Nancy's by Snack, and on our first panel, which we're discussing is challenges and opportunities around college and affordability. And our first panelists are Marceline White, of the executive director of the Maryland Consumer Rights Coalition, along with Vera Brooks, who's Director of Financial Aid at Baltimore City Community College. Again, I would like for you, though, Marceline, you just gave some really good websites out. I'd like for you to repeat them so that people can take this information down and pursue some of this great information so that they don't find themselves in a situation of debt.
I'd be happy to do that. If you're interested in learning more about for-profit schools in Maryland and how they've performed, which I can say the record is not good, we would not give them even a C.
Wow.
In terms of their performance, we'd give them a D. If you are interested in reading our report, it's on our website, which is Maryland Consumer Rights Coalition, www.MarylandConsumers.org. If you want to look at the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau's shopping sheet, which can help you calculate the cost of different kinds of college programs and loans, go to consumerfinance.gov. It's the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau. They have a whole portal on student loans right now, mm-hmm. and you can use that shopping sheet. And again, almost all colleges in Maryland now are starting to use the financial aid shopping sheet. And for-profit schools are supposed to be publishing the cost of their programs now due to legislation we passed last year.
Excellent. And now, Vera, one of the questions I have for you is we're talking about college affordability and the viability, right, of starting with a community college because it is more affordable. Talk to us a little about what your student body is like, the cost of what it would cost to attend a community college like Baltimore City Community College.
Well, first of all, Baltimore City Community College is the only state community college, and we're very affordable. If a student goes full-time and takes 12 to 18 credit hours, the student gets 6 hours free. They only pay for 12, and that's about $1,300. That's
wow.
something that we're very proud of that, and it's something that the Board of Trustees passed last year. So if you take 12 credit hours, it's $1,300. If you take 18 credit hours, it's $1,300. So that's very affordable. Most of our students, our dependent students, come from household incomes that average out to be $11,000.
Oh, wow.
Our independent students are coming from households that that average income is around $11,600.
So in that case, let's say I go to a Baltimore City Community College and I want to matriculate into a four-year college. Is there a matriculation agreement, or what should a student anticipate?
We have articulation agreements with the different colleges in the area, and those colleges are listed on BCCC's website. And so all those credit hours should transfer to those institutions that we have articulation agreements with.
Excellent, excellent. That's great information. Well, folks, this was our first panel, and we were talking about college affordability and some of the challenges. We want to thank our two panelists, Vera Brooks from the Director of Financial Aid for Baltimore City Community College, and Marceline White, the Executive Director of the Maryland Consumer Rights Coalition. And coming up next, we don't want you to go anywhere because we're going to tackle another topic, and that is scholarships. Explore your options. You know, so often I think parents don't pursue that. I know personally with my two children, I wish I had gotten them writing scholarships more often and writing for scholarship. You know, just to give you an example, we had a friend whose children ended up with a credit, meaning tens of thousands of dollars, because they started their kids writing scholarships and essays in middle school, and so that's when you can get started. So we'll continue the conversation though on college affordability. So Marceline, I have a question for you. What are some of the signs that people need to red flags that you're maybe applying to a school that could have you ending up in debt?
It's a great question. One of the things we've seen is certainly at some of the for-profit and private career schools, When students ask for information about the cost of the program, people have tried to get them to sign up immediately for financial aid. So they've not given them clear information about what the cost of the program is or the graduation rate. They've just tried to enroll them quickly into the financial aid. And that's clearly a red flag. A program should be able to speak to you clearly about the graduation rate, about the employment rate. They should be able to tell you a little bit about the cost per program so you have a sense of what kind of burden you're taking on. And if they don't, that's a real red flag. And those kinds of issues should be posted in a clear and transparent fashion. And the other thing I think that's important to note for everyone is that student loans are one of the few loans that are very difficult to discharge in bankruptcy. So for any kind of debt, one of the things that's so important to know with student loan debt is you can't get rid of it. You know, you can't discharge it in bankruptcy, so you have to really make wise choices.
That's excellent, excellent advice. And Vera, could you please give out your website, Vera Brooks, Director of Financial Aid for Baltimore City Community College, and if there's someone listening, how they could learn more about your school?
www.bcc.edu. And I want to add to what Marceline said. Schools are audited, and audit reports are public information. So if you want to know if there's something been going on, you can go to the federal website for auditors, for auditing reports, and the state auditing reports, because financial aid is heavily audited. Another red sign for me is whenever I talk to a student who's transferring in to be CCC from a nonprofit school, a for-profit school, if they tell me that the financial aid officer completed their FAFSA, that's a red flag for me.
I see. That's great. Absolutely. Information. Well, folks, don't go anywhere. We're going to transition. If you've just joined us, this is our Coffee and Conversation broadcast. We're really here live at Nancy's right here on North Avenue and sponsored by PNC Bank. And next on our panel, we're going to be talking about scholarships. So this is information you can't afford to miss. Keep it right here. Don't go anywhere, folks. We'll be right back.
We certainly will. It's the Baltimore Blend right here on WEAA 88.9 FM, the voice of the community. And, of course, as just mentioned, if you just joined us, it's Nancy's. We're here at 131 West North Avenue at Kevin Brown's. Kevin Brown is taking care of business. So if you're in the area, come on down and join us. You may have some questions. The topic here is you can afford college. Yes, you can.